It's only a matter Mountains are still being moved, strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe it. Yes, we can see it. The standards are still what you do. Bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being. Believe it, yes, we can see it. The wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set up.
Miracles happen. happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Miracles happen.
That we need to move? Don't we need to move? Right here in this church, in our families, in our cities, in our country, we need God's move, amen? Amen, can you declare this morning? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus, we thank you, Jesus. Greet your neighbor next to you, your brother, your sister. God bless you. God bless you. We may be seated.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Harvest Time Church. We're so glad to have you here with us. We have so many exciting events coming up in the life of our church you won't want to miss. This Wednesday, we have our Trunk or Treat event for kids. If you're interested in decorating your trunk or donating candy, stop by the Kids Connect desk for more information. If you're interested in finding out what it means to be a member at Harvest Time Church or get plugged into a team, the membership class November 7th is your next step. You can sign up through Realm or head to the Connect desk after the service and talk to our team. On November 14th, we will have baby dedications. If you're interested in having your baby dedicated, head to the Connect desk after the service. And last, Friday evening, November 5th at 7 p.m., we have our Fire in the Night worship and prayer service. To stay connected in the life of our church, scan the QR code on the screen to sign up for a Realm account. If you have any questions about Realm, head over to the Connect desk after the service. We love you, church, and hope you have a great week.
Good morning, Harvest Time Church. How y'all doing? Can we give God a shout of praise this morning? You're grateful to be in the house of the Lord, starting your week off right. Can we just lift up a shout of praise? Sometimes we need to take a praise break. Let's do a little 5-second praise break. Amen, amen. Well, it's really good to see everybody. If this is your first or second time, welcome to Harvest Time Church. We do pray that the welcome home that you see inside of our venue and really everywhere else around here is more than just a catchy phrase. We really do pray as you walk through the doors of our church that this is a place that feels like home. And we pray that you just come back next week and decide to make Harvest Time your church home, because we love having you here. We love starting our week worshiping with you and getting to know you. So one thing I want to let you know about, and I think this is one of the most important things. If you're new to Harvest Time Church, maybe you started coming at the beginning of the summer, maybe middle of summer, maybe this is your first Sunday. On November 7th at 6 p.m., we are doing a membership class. We're going to be hearing from Pastors Glenn and Denise and the rest of the Harvest Time team as we talk about not only the future of Harvest Time Church, but really where we came from and where we're going in the process. And this is a great time if you want to know what we believe as a church, how we feel like you could be a part of what God is doing through a local church. November 7th, which is a Sunday evening at 6 p.m., we are doing a membership class. And also, we're going to have some of our different teams that you could be a part of if you're like, you know what, I'd love to be more involved in just coming on a Sunday. I'd love to be active on a Sunday as well as sitting in and receiving in a service. This is going to be a great time. We want to see you there. It's going to be RSVP, so if you want to head to our Connect desk, you can sign up there. You can also scan the QR code that is in your program and sign up that way. Come talk to myself or Pastor Kinney or any of the Harvest Time team. We would love to make sure that you've got a spot there. We're going to have some snacks, have some coffee, some hot chocolate. It's going to be a really great night to really hear the heart behind the why this church exists and where it is and what it is that God has called us to do as a church. So we'd love to see you there. Also on November 5th, so just a couple days before that Friday, we have a Fire in the Night worship and prayer evening. If you've been a part of our church for any last few years, you know that we've done these Fire in the Night evenings that started at really about 6 p.m. and they would go until about 6 a.m. and it was really 12 hours of worship. We've changed that and kind of condensed it. So this is going to be a night of prayer and worship starting at 7 p.m. And this is a really powerful time. If you are a prayer warrior, if you are a worshiper, this is a night that we want to see you there. That we did one a couple months ago, or really about 6 weeks ago, and it was absolutely powerful, and we look forward to seeing you there. We're going to be doing these every other month and kind of getting into a rhythm, because how many of you know that no time like now do we need more prayer and worship? And so what we're doing is we're saying we're going to dedicate ourselves the first Friday of every other month to prayer and worship as a church and as a family. Invite your friends. This is one of those nights that is really powerful and really specific, and we're doing it for a purpose, and that is to pray and worship and not only encourage ourselves, but pray and worship around really specific things that we believe that God is calling us as a church to focus in on. So this is going to be fun. So if you have any questions about anything that we're doing, life groups, all that stuff, head to the Connect desk after the service. Come find me. Sign up. Scan the QR code. Also want to make mentions, guys. This 10:30 service, we now have Portuguese translations going on right now as I speak. Somebody is translating this into Portuguese. We are looking forward to launching Spanish translations coming up. I did ask one of the team members if it's hard to translate me into Portuguese, and they said, no, it's not. You speak slow and use small words. I felt that was slightly offensive. But I'm really grateful it's easy to translate. So all of those that are listening in on our Portuguese translations, welcome. It is such an honor to have you with us in service. Also, we're going to take a moment to talk about our tithe and offering. If you are going to be giving, thank you so much for continually giving week in and week out. If you are going to give, there's an envelope that is in your program. You can take that from there. You can also text to give, which is super easy. Thank you to everybody who's watching us online. There's a link on our YouTube page. You can click to give that way. If you are going to be giving cash through the envelope and you'd like to receive credit for that, you can make sure you fill out your information inside so that way you can do that. But I want to encourage you with this scripture in 2 Chronicles. It says, God's people faithfully brought in contributions, tithes, and dedicated gifts. Really quickly, by a show of hands, how many of you are grateful that God is faithful with his mercy towards you? How many of y'all are faithful in his love towards you? How many of y'all, one more time, how many of you with your hands lifted are faithful for his mercy in your life? How good is God in his faithfulness towards us? I love that this scripture reminds us that we can be faithful to him through our bringing in our tithes and our offerings and the gifts that he has given us. I pray that we are a church that not only receives God's faithfulness in our life and the way that he treats us, but we also give faithfully to him, knowing that he can be trusted with everything that we bring to him, everything that we give to him, and we can do it week in and week out. My wife and I plan every week to give, because we look at it and go, as God gives us, we give back to him, and we're going to be faithful in doing that. I pray that as a church, every week or bi-weekly or once a month, however we choose to do it, that we come and we faithfully give God what he's already given us, and we know that he is trustworthy. How many know he's faithful in his trustworthiness? So we can trust him with the small that we bring him. We can trust him with the large that we bring him. And as we do that, let's pray. Hold your gift in your hand on your way out after the service, because we're not going to be passing containers due to social distancing and all that stuff. There are going to be two offering containers on your back. You could drop them in there if you do have an envelope with you. So, Father, we thank you. God, we thank you that you are trustworthy. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful. God, you have never failed and you will never fail. So what gifts we bring to you, God, we know that we can trust to do more with them than we ever thought possible. God, we pray for supernatural blessing on the offering that is brought in this morning. Let it touch more lives. Let it supernaturally multiply in ways that we couldn't imagine. Lord, we pray for an open window of blessing on everybody who continually, faithfully sows into what it is you're doing through what you've given them first. So God, pray for a blessing on their marriage, on their family, on their kids, on their businesses, on the dreams and desires that are in their heart, Lord. Just continue to pour out your blessing on them. So Father, we love you. We thank you. And in the name of Jesus, we all shout. Amen. While you do that, why don't you turn your attention to the screen?
Just one word. You calm the storm that surrounds me. Just one word. The darkness has to retreat. Oh, just one touch. I feel the presence of heaven. Just one touch, my eyes were open to see. My heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that he can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God.
Amen. God bless you. Good morning, everyone. I believe that with my whole heart. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. Do you believe that? If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10. We're talking about Jesus, his wonderful, matchless life this year. And we're going to talk today from Matthew chapter 10, going to start reading in verse 1 about being mission ready. While you're finding your way in your Bible and your Bible app to Matthew 10, a couple quick things. Our friend Heather Smeriglio is running for re-election for tax collector here in the town of Greenwich. How many of you know that God needs his people in government? He needs his people in town hall. And Heather is a wonderful light in our town hall. She's having an event next door at Augustine's Farm as soon as this service is over. There's some apple cider donuts and cider and some other things. And I invite you, Heather invites you over to the farm next door just to say hi and give your support for her election campaign. Then our friends Mary and Carmine Cassarella have invited us. There is an Italian Heritage Festival just down the road in Silver Lake, about 5 minutes down the road, down 120. And Carmine and Mary have a smoothie truck. It's all organic. It's all healthy. It's all good for you. So here's what you do. After service, go eat some apple cider donuts, and then go down the road and wash it down with something healthy, all right? And it'll all balance itself out. Then we'll check your insulin levels at about 4 p.m. today. But they invite you. Hope you have a good time. Matthew chapter 10, let's talk about mission ready, mission ready. Matthew 10, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out unclean spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. We talked about the names of the 12 disciples a couple weeks ago in a sermon called Chosen. We won't read their names again. Jump with me to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near to you. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Don't get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts, no bag for your journey or extra coat or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for a worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest upon it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as serpents and harmless as doves. Let's talk about being mission ready. I want to start with a question from the Holy Spirit this morning. Are you mission ready? Are you ready to engage in the core mission of the church? Last Sunday, we made pledges for sacrificial giving to missions in the coming year. The pledges came to over $105,000. That's amazing. But I want to push you further than that. Every disciple of Jesus is called to be a missionary. Now, they weren't buying it in the first service, but I proved it to them, and I'm going to prove it to you. Every disciple of Jesus is called to be a missionary. Now, that doesn't mean that we'll all make an overseas trip, but missions is an integral part of being a follower of Jesus. Jesus told us to pray for missionaries. He told us to financially underwrite missionaries. And yes, most of all, he told us to serve as missionaries ourselves. Do you remember when Jesus called Peter and Andrew and James and John on the shores of Galilee? What did Jesus say to them? He said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That's missions. After a night of prayer, Jesus called the 12 disciples. St. Mark says he called them that they might be with him and to send them out to preach. That's missions. When Jesus called you to be his follower, he definitely called you to enjoy the blessing of his presence, but he also called you for something more. Jesus called you to send you to others. The call to discipleship is the call to be a missionary. Matthew chapter 10 records the first mission of the 12 disciples in Galilee. Looking at Jesus' instructions here, I want to share a few thoughts with you today about getting mission ready. On your way in, you received a program, and your program is an outline of today's sermon. And if you like, you can listen, watch the screens, fill in the blanks, and follow along. Let's talk about getting missions ready. First of all, get ready to start. Get ready to start. Jesus was urgent to reach people with the gospel. He was moved with compassion for people. He saw that their spiritual needs are great. Jesus saw that people are weary. He saw that they are wandering through life. He saw that their souls are in jeopardy. Jesus also saw that there was a tremendous potential for a positive response. He said, "The harvest is plentiful. Multitudes are ready right now to respond to Jesus." Do you know that's the word from the Lord that God gave to Pastor Tate in 1983 when he started Harvest Time Church, that there is a harvest ripe and ready right here in Greenwich, right here in Fairfield and Westchester counties. Can I tell you, all these years later, it is still true. The harvest is plentiful. And Jesus saw that the window of opportunity is short. Time is of the essence. In Matthew chapter 10, the disciples had been with Jesus for about 18 months now. They were soaked in his public teaching. They had witnessed his miracles. In fact, they had participated in some of the miracles. They had plenty of time alone with Jesus, receiving one-on-one tutoring from him. Now it was time for them to get moving. There's urgency in Jesus' instructions. Don't go shopping for your trip. Don't buy a new wardrobe. Don't pack heavy bags. Don't let anything slow you down. Go at once. Go as you are and trust God. You know, I believe God wants to speak to all of us today. Jesus is urgent about reaching people. Their spiritual need is great. Their potential for a positive response is great. We have been soaking in Jesus' words long enough. We've been witnesses to his supernatural work in people's lives long enough. We've been tutored by him long enough. Now it's time for us to get moving to reach others, because time is of the essence. Many times the hardest part of any task is getting started. Where should I start? How should I attack this task? You know, Jesus answers those questions in Matthew chapter 10. The place where he wants us to start is locally. Jesus wants us to start right here at home, reaching out to the lost people that live among us. Before the end of their lives, the disciples and their associates would reach the entire civilized world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, these men were called to a global ministry, but Jesus said, "Hey guys, start right here locally. For now, focus your energy here. Focus your attention right here in Galilee. Start in the places you know, among the people you know." I really feel like the Lord wants to speak to somebody today. A lot of people want to go on overseas missions trips, and it's true. We host epic missions trips at HTC. Some people have big dreams for ministry that has a national footprint or a global footprint, but God wants us to do something right here. God wants us to be effective locally before he takes us global. There's a couple of reasons for that. First of all, there's a great need right here, and we're already here. It really doesn't make sense to ignore the need here and go run to meet the need somewhere else. God is a lot more efficient than that. God is a lot more practical than that. There's a need here, and we're here. But more importantly, can I tell you, we're not quite ready for the challenges out there yet. So God wants to get us ready right here. The disciples weren't quite ready for prime time yet. They weren't ready for ministry to the Gentiles. They weren't ready for ministry in Greece. But guess what? They were ready enough for ministry in Galilee. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us today. He wants all of us to get engaged right here in our Galilee. Mission ready. A few thoughts. Get ready to start. Here's another thought. This is my favorite part. And Renee, this is for you. Get ready to serve. Get ready to serve. Jesus' mission strategy. Listen, this is good preaching right here. Jesus' mission strategy was to get close to people. That's why he put on a body of human flesh and left the splendor and the adoration of heaven and came to earth. He came to get close to us. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. That's the reason Jesus called apart 12 disciples, so that they could be close to him. That's the reason he sent those 12 out to the villages of Galilee, so they could get close to people. Throngs of people flocked around Jesus and the disciples. It was too hard to get close to them in that setting. So Jesus sent the disciples to where the people live. He sent them to their homes. He sent them into their daily lives. Jesus said, go get close to them and tell them that God has come near to them. Beloved, listen to me. 2,000 years later, Jesus' mission's strategy is still the same. He sends us to get close to people in our neighborhood, at school, at work, on Main Street, in social groups and gatherings. Now listen to this. You're going to be blessed by this. When we get close to people, God is near to them. Let me tell you something. If this sinks into your spirit, it'll change the way you interact with people everywhere you go. When we get close to people, God is near to them. Just like the 12 disciples before us, we are Jesus' special representatives. We come in his name. We come in his delegated authority and power because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. When we approach people, the living presence of God comes near them. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is inside of you. Go to the villages, get close to people. Tell them the kingdom of heaven is nearby. Get close to them and tell them the power of God is near to them. Get close to them and tell them that the authority of heaven is near to them. Get close to them and tell them that heavenly intervention and liberation from oppression is nearby. Heaven's protection is nearby. Heaven's blessings are nearby. It's theirs for the taking. When we get close to people, the blessing of God's peace rests upon them. Just like the disciples before us, Jesus has delegated to us his own peace. He said, my peace I give you, my peace I bequeath to you. And when we get close to people, that peace of Christ that's on us changes the atmosphere around them from chaotic to orderly. We change the atmosphere from sketchy to secure. We change the atmosphere from hostile to hospitable. We change the atmosphere from spiritually resistant to spiritually receptive. And Jesus' peace can remain on people even after we leave their presence. Over the years, I've had some unchurched friends from the community who've come to visit HTC for different occasions, holidays. Maybe they've had family members or friends who attend here and they've come for something special. And I'll meet them on the street and they say to me, you know, every time I visit your church, I feel so good for the week after that. I'm happy. I'm at peace. It always begs the question silently in my mind, then why don't you come back, dummy? But can I tell you what they're feeling? Is they're feeling God's peace resting upon them because they were close to us in the presence of the Lord. I like this one right here, Renee. I'm calling out Renee because Renee, if you don't know, she's a missionary and she just shines Jesus everywhere she goes, and she has God's heart for that. So I knew this would bless you, my dear Renee. When we get close to people, we create a sacred space where they can connect with God. Listen to this. This is good right here. Jesus told the disciples, don't take a staff. Don't take sandals, don't take an extra coat, and don't take a money belt on your journey. You might find it interesting that when a Jewish man entered the temple to worship, he had to remove his money belt, his sandals, his extra coat, and his staff, and he had to deposit them in a locker, a lot like when we go to special secure sites and they have lockers where you have to store your personal belongings. The purpose of the temple was for people to meet with God in worship and in prayer. So all of the items associated with daily business had to be left behind at the temple door. I think this spoke to the disciples when Jesus told them that. You see, he said, don't take these things associated with everyday business, because when you're around people, it's a sacred place. And listen, just like the disciples before us, when we get close to people, we're on a sacred mission. There's an atmosphere where God can use us to facilitate a connection between people and God. We're there to help people reach God in prayer, maybe for the very first time in their lives. We're there to lead people into an experience of God's presence as we just tell them about Him, as we pray for them. When we get close to people, God calls them to a critical moment of decision about Jesus. It's extremely serious. Their eternal destiny hangs in the balance. May God help us to remember this week as we go back to work and school and as we're out and about in the neighborhood and on Main Street. May God help us to remember that every interaction that we have with people that don't know Jesus has potential eternal consequences. When we get close to people, I like this, our voice becomes like God's voice in their ears. When God speaks a word, there is divine power behind that word to bring into existence whatever God has spoken. God spoke and the worlds were created. God spoke and the universe came into existence. When we speak as Jesus' representatives, He delegates that same authority to us. So when we get close to people and we announce to them that God is near to them in His power and in His authority, it actually becomes a reality. People actually subjectively experience what we have announced to them. And they receive the immediate benefits of it. The power of Satan and demons is pushed back from them, and God's power and authority comes over them in its place. People are no longer under Satan's power, but they're under God's power. When we get close to people, I like this, miracles are probable. Just like the disciples before us, Jesus wants to get close to us and pray for them in His name. Pray for the sick in the name of Jesus. Pray for the dying in the name of Jesus. Pray for the tormented in the name of Jesus. Pray and leave the results up to God. Listen, if we'll only do what Jesus told us to do, He will show up and do what He promised He would do. We pray and Jesus heals. We pray and Jesus delivers. We pray and Jesus restores. The Holy Spirit's speaking to us today. Start locally. Start by getting close to people. Mission ready. A few thoughts. Get ready to start. Get ready to serve. Here's another thought. Get ready to sacrifice. There's absolutely no way to sugarcoat it. The call to missions will cost you everything. Missions costs you other uses of your time. Things you could be doing, but instead you're reaching out to people. You're getting close to them for Jesus' sake. Missions cost you the burden of caring about someone's spiritual destiny and taking responsibility for them upon yourself. Missions cost you effort in your prayers and your planning and in your engagement. Mission costs you befriending people and listening to them. Missions cost you telephone conversations, sometimes at inconvenient moments. It costs you meetups for coffee. It costs you hosting people in your home and going to their homes, cat hair at all. Missions cost you involvement in people's lives, especially involvement in their problems. Missions cost you having sometimes uncomfortable heart-to-heart conversations with people, sometimes confrontations. Missions is a faith venture. Missions requires daily dependence upon God for his protection. Jesus told them, don't take a staff with you. A staff was used by travelers as a weapon for personal protection. So without a staff, they were dependent upon God. Missions requires daily dependence on him for material provision. Jesus said, don't take any money with you. So they were reliant upon God for daily bread. Jesus said, don't take an extra coat that would be used as a sleeping bag in case they had to sleep out in the elements. So they were reliant upon God for daily lodging. Jesus said, don't take extra shoes. So they were reliant upon God for transportation. He said, don't take an offering bag with you like traveling philosophers and religious teachers carried with them. So they were reliant on God to financially sustain their journey to the end. Missions requires daily dependence on God for results, believing that he will open people's hearts to receive you and do supernatural work in their lives through you, and God's people will support you through it all. Missions requires us to trade financial security for a life of daily faith. It requires the sacrificial giving of believers. Note the pattern in Matthew 10 for underwriting missions. Jesus told the disciples, don't take a speaker's offering bag with you to solicit financial support from unbelievers. Instead, missionaries are supported by those who believe the gospel. Even brand new believers in Jesus are called upon to begin providing support for missions. Last Sunday morning, we received faith promises for sacrificial missions giving. On Monday evening, we had a board meeting. It was our regular monthly board meeting, and we were discussing some of the faith challenges that are in front of us right now as a congregation. COVID has caught up to us, and we have some challenges. But you know, right in the middle of that meeting, I received a text from a sister who's newer to Harvest Time. She said, Pastor Glenn, on Sunday morning, I made a faith promise to missions giving. Her husband was traveling over the weekend. She wasn't able to reach him by text so that they could agree upon a number. So she put down a number that God put on her heart. And she said, Lord, you're going to have to provide that amount through me. I don't know how, but you're going to have to provide it through me. On Sunday evening, her husband was at an event, and somebody handed him a check, and they said, this is a gift for your wife. This is for her to use. And the amount of the check, you guessed it, was exactly what she put down on her faith promise. Within 7 hours, she made a faith promise, and God made provision for the entire year of missions giving. Listen, can I tell you, this faith stuff, this Holy Spirit-guided giving, it works. If you missed last week, if you haven't filled out a faith promise card for missions giving, you can do that. There's cards on the center table as you exit the main sanctuary doors. You can take one and fill it out. If you're watching online and you haven't had the, we didn't say anything last week about how to do that online, but if you want to make a missions pledge, just email office@htchurch.com and we'll get you set up with a missions pledge card. Mission ready, a few thoughts. Get ready to start, get ready to serve, get ready to sacrifice. Here's another thought, wish I didn't have to talk about it, but I do. Get ready to suffer opposition. Jesus said, not everyone will allow us to get close to them. Not everyone will permit us to remain close to them. Some will give us an audience and then turn us away. Some will be indifferent to us from the very start. Some will resist us. Some will overtly oppose us. And yes, some will fiercely persecute us. Jesus said, if they did it to me, they'll do it to you. But Jesus gives us some guidance here for navigating opposition. First of all, listen to this. Jesus says it's okay to disassociate ourselves from those who reject our ministry. When Jews were traveling through Gentile territory, when they crossed back the border into Jewish land, they would shake the Gentile dust off of their clothing. It was a sign that they were disassociating themselves from Gentile impurity. Jesus moved on from places and from people who didn't receive him. And sometimes we have to move on as well. But listen, when we do move on, our assignment doesn't change. We're still called to go to the next place and get close to people. In Matthew 10:23, Jesus says, when you're persecuted in one place, move to another. But continue on with the mission I gave you. Keep on going. Keep on getting close to people. Even if they rejected you in the last place, make an investment in them in the next place. Keep on bringing God near to them. Keep on praying for them. And when we're faced with persecution, we can rely on the Holy Spirit to help us keep our head together and keep our heart in the right place. The Holy Spirit will help us to be as calculating as serpents and as harmless as doves. Precious friends, listen, if ever there was a time that we needed this promise of Jesus, it's today, because people today are ready for a fight. They're ready to be easily offended and they are ready to punish. But Jesus can help us by the Holy Spirit to maintain a clear head and a loving heart. Mission ready, a few thoughts. Get ready to start, get ready to serve, get ready to sacrifice, get ready to suffer opposition, get ready for a cider donut, because I have one more point and I'm done. Worship team, you can help me. Finally, this, get ready to succeed selflessly. Get ready to succeed selflessly. Yes, Jesus told us we should expect opposition, but he also told us we should expect success. He told us we will find a willing audience. He told us we will see miraculous answers to prayer. He told us we will find support from God's people. The first mission of the 12 to Galilee was so successful that St. Mark reports that it reached the ears of Herod, and he was curious. When the 12 returned to Jesus from their mission, they were followed by such throngs of people that Jesus had to put them in a boat and whisk them away so that they could have a lunch break. The disciples were jubilant over the response that they received and over the miracles that they witnessed. But Jesus warned us not to let success in missions go to our heads. He said, don't become proud. Jesus said, don't rejoice that the people respond to you and that the demons are subject to you. Instead, rejoice that God has had mercy on you and your name is written down in heaven. Jesus warned us to remain non-profit prophets. He said, freely you have received, freely give. You see, Jesus knew that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are so powerful and so wonderful that people could easily be manipulated into paying for them. In fact, in the New Testament, some people even offered the apostles money to pay for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, don't you dare do it. He wants us to hold on to the principles of the first mission. Listen, there's a difference between accepting support, accepting hospitality for the mission, and profiteering from the gospel. One is focused on what's necessary to accomplish the task. The other is focused on personal wealth building. Jesus never ever said, go to the villages of Galilee and take boxes of gospel merchandise with you. Jesus didn't say, take t-shirts and ball caps and water bottles with your cool ministry logo on it to sell. He didn't say, take inspirational bookmarks to sell. I'm preaching to you now. Jesus said, don't take a staff or sandals or an extra coat or a money belt. Leave everything behind that speaks of secular business, because when you're close to people, it's sacred business. Beloved, listen to me. As long as I have breath in my lungs and we're the pastors of this church, what will never happen here is profiteering from the gospel. If the weary world ever needed a mission-ready church, it's right now. The need is great. The harvest is ready. The workers are few. Time is short. So let's start local. Let's get close to people. Let's serve them. Let's sacrifice. Let's suffer opposition and navigate it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Let's succeed selflessly. Let's get mission ready. Would you stand on your feet today and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place today? Oh, come on, don't give Jesus a wimpy little praise. Let's give him a great big praise in this place. Thank you, Lord. Listen, I want you to lift up your voice, lift up your face, lift up your hands, do what only you can do. Come on, I want you to sing it with all your heart. Let's worship before we finish today. Come on, give the Lord a good praise in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Go get close to people. Tell them that God is near to them. Would you put your hand on your heart? Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you'd open the eyes of our heart. I pray that you'd enlarge our faith. God, I pray that you'd impress upon our spirit that the harvest is ready. It's plentiful. The workers are few, and the time is urgent. Father, I pray that we would accept your mission to go get close to people. And I pray that you'd expand our faith to realize that when we get close to people, God is near. That when we get close to people, the precinct of heaven's peace has come near. That when we get close to people, there's a sacred moment when people can reach out. God's not far from any one of us. That when we get close to people, the words we speak on God's behalf are like God's words in their ears. Father, I pray that you would make us mission ready. Ready to start, ready to serve, ready to sacrifice, ready to suffer opposition with the help of the Holy Spirit, and ready to succeed selflessly. Father, I pray you'd release us into your world. Lord, into Greenwich, into Fairfield County, into Westchester County, into New York City, into Putnam County, Lord. Father, release us. Father, I pray for your people. Lord, I pray as we go our own way today that the cloud of your presence would envelop us. Lord, I pray your protection would surround us. I pray that your provision would accompany us. I pray that your providence would lead us. I pray that your peace would encircle us until we come together again. And everyone said, amen and amen. God bless you, everybody. There's donuts downstairs, there's donuts next door, and there's smoothies down the road. Have a wonderful fall Sunday. God be with you. God bless you. Come on, sing one more time. Do what only you can do.
Church. Have a good Sunday and a good week.